Okay, this is March, April, May, June, May. April. April 22nd, Joy. This is Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Why is this so important for us to know? If you're in religious science, we use a term called treatment, which means prayer. And treatment starts with what? It starts with unity. You must know that you are part of God. You must know that this thing called God operates in, as, and through you. So that is what we're trying to stretch our consciousness to believe, to accept. It is the truth. It's not a made-up thing. But this world has taught for so long that this power, this intelligence, this wisdom that we call God is outside of us. So we are constantly looking outside of ourselves for things. We cannot do that any longer. You must look within. This month we were discussing joy and where to find joy. You find joy inside of yourself. Everything that you are looking for is inside of you. But because we think that there's something outside that can add to us, we always are looking on the outside. Everything that you need is on the inside of you. All treatment, this thing that we call prayer, is not to change the mind of God. You cannot change the mind of God. The mind of God is set. This thing called God always sees you as whole and complete and perfect. It always holds you in the highest of esteem. Why? Because you are part of it. So we make that wonderful big statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. We have many statements that we can make, but we have to, when we make them, start to feel it, start to believe it, and start to see it in our lives. Whatever else God is me, is a wonderful statement that you can use. Whatever else God is me. So, stretch your consciousness to be able to accept that. This idea that treatment, it goes someplace and does something. It goes someplace with inside of you and does something. It changes your mind. It changes your consciousness. So if you're ever thinking that you're going to change something on the outside, it will not work. If you think that you're sending your treatment somewhere, you're not sending it anywhere. There is no place to send it to. You must know that this thing that we call God is the innermost God and the outermost God. It is the wisdom, it is the intelligence, it is the life that you are living. Jay is not here tonight, but he loved the expression last week, God can only do for you what God can do through you. What does that mean? That means through your consciousness, through your mind, through your thinking. So if you're doing a treatment for money, and your attitude towards money is that it's scarce, then God can only work through that. So you must change that consciousness. We studied, and we have it on the internet, The Mental Equivalent by Emmett Fox. The whole idea of the mental equivalent is you must form in your mind an equivalent of what you want. If you want wealth in your life, then you must start thinking wealthy thoughts. You must see prosperity everywhere. You must see abundance everywhere. Then God can do something. You cannot make a treatment for money, for wealth, and then have a consciousness of lack and limitation. What do we mean by lack and limitation? There's not enough money to go around. We're in a depression right now. The banks won't give me the money. This won't happen. That won't happen. That's a bunch of bunk, people. That's on the outside of life. We never deal with anything on the outside of life. We do not deny that things are happening on the outside of life. We deny the necessity for them. We move up in consciousness to a higher consciousness and we see things differently. Your demonstrations will not come, or they will come willy-nilly, because of your consciousness is not set. Your belief is not set. You must work on yourself, and you must learn to spiritualize yourself. What do I mean by spiritualizing yourself? Knowing that you're one with God, knowing that you are God in the making, knowing that there's a seed inside of you, a divine seed, a divine pattern, and that pattern and seed is coming forth right here and right now. These are the things that you change in your mind. It's the whole idea of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. But we do not seek the kingdom of heaven. Where is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is inside of you. Everything is inside of you. This thing we call joy, love, bliss, whatever you're looking for is inside of you. So look inside of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All else will be added unto you. As I said before, most of the things that you're looking for are the side effects. But you are concentrating on the side effects. If you concentrate on money, that's a side effect of your abundant consciousness. So come up with a consciousness of abundance and money will follow. If you're looking for a job, you must come up with the consciousness of that job. That is the mental equivalent. You must supply. There's a law in the universe. We call it the law of attraction. We call it many different things, but it's an attraction. And it attracts like to like. So when you change your consciousness, that will pull what you want in. So you have to become a witness to your thinking. What is going on inside of my mind? What am I thinking at the present moment? Why is this happening to me? You see. And then you change that around. But you have to start with the idea that you are one with this thing called God. That's spiritualizing yourself. We think that we need something added to us. You never need anything added to you. You have everything. I will say this till the day I leave this plane of action. The gift has already been given. Stop looking for something. Stop looking for something. You already have it all. You must reveal that to yourself. Everything is inside of you waiting to be revealed, waiting to be noticed, so that it can pop in to this plane of action. But it's revealing. So you have to sit down and figure out, why am I holding things back from me? Why am I not allowing things to happen in my life? It has to do with you. You must take complete responsibility for that. That gets rid of all this blame, shame, guilt, and so forth. And that makes your life so much easier once you realize you are the cause unto your own experience. You are the cause unto your own experience. With that said, please read this and pass it on.
I let God be God in me.
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 And I let God be God in me. What does that mean? God can only do for you what God can do through you. This is absolutely true. When you let God be God in you, you're recognizing that God is all there is. You move that bloated nothingness out of the way. You no longer come from that ego part of you. And what happens to most of us when we're doing treatment work, we're doing it with our ego and not with our spiritual selves. You must move up in consciousness and then do your treatment work. If you're still treating for money, and you're not getting money, it's because you're using your ego. Use your spirit instead of your ego. You must become spiritually aware. That's called spiritualizing yourself. And we don't do enough of that because we keep thinking that we're human beings. We keep buying into what the world is telling us. Instead of moving up in consciousness, realizing that everything you want is already here, it's already inside of you, and that you are one with this thing, God, in fact, that you are God. I'll make that big statement, which usually blows people's minds. Now, if you are God, are you going to allow yourself to suffer in any way? Are you going to allow yourself to be in poverty? No. This thing called God is abundant, is prosperous, is beauty, is love, is all the wonderful things that you need in life. The idea of moving yourself out of the way and spiritualizing yourself, stop listening to that little voice inside of you that keeps telling you that something's wrong with you, something's wrong with the world. You're not quite right. That is your ego. And when you're treating from the ego, what are you going to get? You're going to get more ego. Now, you may get the money, you may get the job, but it will not last. It will not stay with you. But if you get it from a spiritual point of view, you will have it and it will always stay with you. Always stay with you. You see. So we don't judge by appearances out there. We never look at the world. We look inside of ourselves for everything that happens to us. Lily, what are the three things? You see, if you come from those three items, we've had that many times, have we not? And she remembers it because she's a child and she uses this. She doesn't have all the other stuff in her mind that we as grown-ups have. So it works for her. So repeat it one more time for everyone. Yes. How many people do that every day? How many people remember that every day? How many people realize that all things are possible with God? So if all things are possible with God, therefore all things must be possible for you. Why? Because you're some part of God. You're saying, we're all some part of this whole shebang. You're part of the universe. You're part of everything. And this thing called God operates through you. There's nothing else operating through you but this thing called God. But since we are individualized, and since we are free to think for ourselves, God can only do through you what you're thinking. Only what you're thinking. God does not change your mind. You must change your mind. You can pray to God to change your mind, but you still have to do it. If it's to be, it's up to you to do it. Wonderful statement I used for years. If it's to be, it's up to me. You have to do it. That's the whole idea of treating and moving your feet. You must do something. This thing called the law always responds in kind. You must give something to get something. If you give nothing, you get nothing. If you do it part-time, you get part-time. Part-time efforts always produce part-time results. It cannot happen any other way, you see. So, give it your full attention. So, the whole idea of this joy and everything else in this whole month is the idea that everything is inside of us, that life is an inside job. It's always going to start with you and move outward. And we talk many times, or I talk many times, about books and so forth, spiritual books, religious science books, that horrible tape called The Secret, which is a bunch of talking heads telling you absolutely nothing. No one has been able to use it. Do you know one person who did it and was able to manifest anything? No. Why? Because it never tells you you have to spiritualize yourself. It never tells you you have to connect with God. It just says, oh, if I think this great big thought, something's going to drop into my life. Well, as you can see, you can think all those thoughts all day long and things are not going to drop into your life. You must connect with this idea that you are a spirit and you are spiritual and that you are one with God. You must start with that. You must start always with yourself and move upward. So, all this hemming and hawing and the five steps, the seven steps and do this and turn around three times and light a candle and throw an incense over here and there and everything is not going to impress God one iota. What's going to impress God is the idea that you recognize that you're one with it. That is going to not only impress God's mind, it's going to impress your mind, and something is going to happen that's wonderful for you. Now, there are a lot of people in religious science, and they think that this thing is mystical and magical and all. Ernest Holmes, from the very beginning, said this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. You can get rich using this formula, but it is not the purpose of this teaching to make everyone rich, although people become rich through using this teaching. This teaching is to actualize yourself so that you realize that you are one with God. And that is not taught enough. It's not understood enough. Once you understand that you're God, you move up in consciousness. You move to a different level of consciousness where all these things which I call the nits and fleas of life no longer are there. You don't have to sink down into all this turmoil that's going on this plane of action. When I say turmoil, that means the money situation, that means the wars that's going on, that means the envies, the hate, the grudges, all the crap that you think makes you human and that you have to use in this world because you're here, all this stuff exists. It does not have to. You can move up past that. So, religious science, people get into religious science and think, oh, well, now I know how to treat, so everything is going to be hunky-dory. Well, I see tons of people in religious science that are treating up one side and down the other from morning, noon, and night, and nothing is happening to them. Why? Because they haven't changed their consciousness. This teaching, as I told you before, you cannot graft onto an old belief. You cannot graft it onto Catholicism. You cannot graft it on to Judaism or any of the other religions in the world. You cannot graft it. You must get rid of the old and start with the new. That's the whole idea of new wine cannot be put into old wine sacks. It will not work. So you have to get rid of your previous thinking and start new. It's said that you are made new by the renewal of your mind. The only way that you can be made new, the only way that any change can come into your life, only when you renew your thinking, when you have a renewal of thinking. You see, it's a wonderful affirmation that I used for many years, and it was, renew a right spirit in me now. Renew a right spirit in me now. So that you can learn that there's something new. So that you can learn to give up, to do different things. You see? So that you don't have that. Last week I told the story about my mind and the man at my management company who gave me the wrong information. I talked to him yesterday, in fact, and I was very pleasant on the phone to him. And I completely forgave myself and forgave him. This is moving up in consciousness. It's not holding all these hates and grudges and so forth. We can do it. Now, about treating and so forth, I often talk to you about my friend Doug the Baptist. Doug the Baptist is able to manifest things in his life. He knows nothing of religious science. He knows not one step of the treatments. When I say these steps, if you have Science of Mind textbook, there is a seven-step treatment work and there's a five-step treatment work. And it's just to organize your mind. There's no mystical, magical thing about it. It's just to keep you from going here, there, and everywhere, because you have to remember that God is intelligent and you must talk to it intelligently. When you babble on and on, it's not going to work for you. But the thing to remember is this about Doug. Doug does not know any of this. But what does he know? He knows that he's one with this thing called God. So he just asks for what he wants, and he usually gets it. I've never seen it to fail for him. They're saying, never seen it to fail for him. It's a wonderful story about an older woman that was a very good healer. People used to come to her, and she could heal them. So somebody was investigating her, and they said to her, how do you do that? How do you heal all these people? She said, they come in, they talk, and they do all this, that, and the other thing. She said, I don't understand one damn word they're saying. She said, after they leave, I go out back, and I say, God, I don't understand it, but I know you do, so take care of them. But I know you do, so take care of them. She moves herself out of the way, and she allows this thing called God to do it for her. How many times? You don't have to do it all yourself, for goodness sakes, remember. Fun and entertainment, ways and means. I'm the fun and entertainment committee. God is the ways and means committee. Let God do its work. Let God do its work. That's the same idea when we say, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God, if there is such a thing as vengeance. It doesn't belong to us. See, people do you in and do all this stuff and you want vengeance. Don't look for vengeance. That will take care of itself. That's a waste of your mental energy. It's a waste of your time. And how are you going to get what you want while you're trying to punish other people, trying to be revengeful and do all that? You're not going to get where you want to go with those things. See? So, let's go back to the basics of knowing that we are one with God. Let's spiritualize ourselves so that we can start from there. So if you want to do a treatment, sit down and say, I am one with God. I am spirit in action, and that spirit is working through me right here and right now. And what I want, God wants. Aha, how about that one? What I want, God wants. Instead of, God wants me to do this, that, and the other thing. God only wants you to love yourself as much as it loves you. That is what God wants. Once you realize that, this thing of asking, what is the will of God? The will of God is only good and greater good for you. That is the will of God. The will of God is not, oh, I want to, God wants me to be a doctor. No, God doesn't even know what a doctor is. Thank you very much. You think God uses a doctor? I doubt it. You say, you want to be a doctor. Doesn't matter what you want to be. Be what you want to be. But know that God is going to have to operate in as and through you. In as and through you. That a surgeon's hands are the hands of God in action. These are the things that you need to know about yourself. So after you sit down and you know that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you, that you are living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God, then start to do your treatment work, but start it also with what attitude? What attitude do you have to start that process? You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So do these things for yourself. Only you can do that. Only you can bring your consciousness to a state of being one with God, to a state where you realize that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You can hear me say that all day long. But if you do not believe it yourself, it will do nothing for you whatsoever. So you have to do the work. You're saying, I cannot eat for you, I cannot breathe for you, nor can I think for you. You must do that thinking. You must bring your mind to that consciousness that you are one with God. So what are some of the things that we've heard all our life? One of them is, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. All else will be added unto you. So remember that. Seek that peace first. Seek that heaven inside of you. And know that everything that you want is inside of you, waiting, waiting to be released. There's nothing outside of you waiting to pop into action. You can mess with the outside all day long. It's not going to move. But the inside is going to move. That's where the movement begins. When I was in the Baptist church, I was never a member of the Baptist church. Remember, they asked me to leave. But they used to have a sign which said, "Perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee." Perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee. Meaning, think God thoughts. Think about God, not about your problem, not about what's going on. Emmett Fox also wrote a book besides the mental equivalent, which was called The Golden Key. In The Golden Key, he recommends when you have a problem, don't think of the problem. Think about God. Think about God. Why is that so important? If you think about the problem and you put energy there, you reinforce that. And it builds and multiplies because you're breathing life into it. Remember, you are a creator. You are always creating your life, whether you want to believe that or admit that or not. So if you take the energy away from your problem, it must disappear. And the way to take the problem away is to think God. If you just sit there and think God, you don't have to think anything else but think God. Why is that so important? Because you can only think one thought at a time. You may think that there are a million thoughts going on in your mind. There may be a million thoughts going on in your mind, but you can only think one at a time. So it is up to you to think God and to stop your mind from doing that. This whole teaching is about mind. What is it about? It's about controlling your mind, controlling your thinking. The whole idea of this thing. Remember my dear Aunt Catherine, 92 years old, I said to her, "How do you do it, Aunt Catherine? How do you stay so up? Lived by herself for years. Always pleasant. Always had plenty." Although she only made, from her retirement, $19 a month. She would always, she left her house, she left with something. She said to me, "Dallas, I control my thinking." She never sat around and put herself down. She never sat around and put other people down. She controlled her thinking. We do not control our thinking. We allow our thinking to control us. We start to think about all our problems. We start to think about all the reasons why something can't be done instead of thinking of all the reasons why something can be done. Your mind, it loves to do that to you. If you come up with an idea, it will tell you five reasons why it can't be done. It will never give you five reasons why it can be done. You must do that for yourself. So you must realize what your mind is up to. Your mind does not want you to change because it would not recognize you. You're saying, it's used to you the way you are. Your thinking is used to you the way you are. Thinking always takes the road of least resistance. Meaning, it will always go to the same conclusion. If you go to that conclusion three or four times, it will do that till you change it. They have discovered in the brain itself that when you think a thought over and over and over again, it actually makes a little ridge, a little gutter that you fall into. So you're in the gutter. Yes, it makes that. So knock yourself out of it. I often do that. You know, I just hit my head and say, "Get out of that." And I pretend it's a needle. Remember when you used to have record players and you got in a groove and it wouldn't get out? Didn't you just hit the machine and it wouldn't jerk over to the next thing? Well, when my mind gets like, I go, boop, and I watch the little needle jump over to the next thing. Otherwise, you just make that groove deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, why do we do this? Why do I think of all these things? Because I use my imagination, the greatest gift that I was ever given. You must use your imagination. Always going to boil down to that. It's always going to boil down to you. It's always going to boil down to your mind. It's always going to boil down to your imagination. You see? You have to start seeing yourself the way you want to be. And I say, see yourself the way you want to be. Why don't you sit and try to release the splendor that is inside of you? The splendor that is inside of you. And how would you do that? You would do that by talking about better things, brighter things, bigger things, instead of, oh, look at that. Oh, what's that volcano doing in Greenland? Well, I don't know myself, nor do I care. We happen to live on a plane of action here. We live on an earth that is alive. And we call it Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is alive. Yes, it's doing a lot of things over there, but that's what volcanoes do. They don't know about airplanes. They don't know about all that stuff. Be thankful that this is an earth that is alive. Be thankful that this is an earth that is alive. You see? It's a wonderful, wonderful place to live on this earth. When I was a minister, I used to wear a boutonniere all the time, and people said to me, why do you wear that boutonniere? And I said, to remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. Think of those things. Many years ago, I said, wake up every morning and say to yourself, I am in paradise. And don't let yourself. You see, we were sold a bill of goods that we were kicked out of paradise. You know that's an out-and-out lie. And yet everyone keeps believing that, even till this day, 2,000 years or more, people have been saying, oh, if we were just living in paradise, if we wouldn't have, Eve wouldn't have eaten that apple and this, that, and the other thing. People, that's a myth. It's a mystical story, and it comes from Babylonia. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. They just threw it in there, for God's sake, to explain something. Every culture has a creation myth. Every culture has a creation myth. Don't buy into that. Know that you were never kicked out of this thing called paradise. And see what that does to your life. You see? And it's so easy to do here in California. Okay. One of the other things that you've heard for years and years and years is pray without ceasing. If you pray without ceasing, you can't allow any of this other stuff to get into your mind. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? That means think good thoughts all the time. Pray without ceasing. Say to yourself, geez, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful life. I'm delighted. I'm this. That's prayer. It's not down on your hands and you say, oh, God, please, I want to. Oh, forget that. Forget that. Enjoy your life. Let that joy that's inside of you come up and start to enjoy your life. Know that you're one with this thing called God. You have to know that. And then this joy and this bliss and everything else will come to you. But as long as you think that you're separated from your good in any way, that this thing called God is holding it back from you, but if I find the right treatment, if I find the right affirmation, it's going to pop right up. Well, that's a bunch of bullshit, people. Give that up. Give that up. Sit and like yourself. Sit and love yourself. Sit and know that you're one with this thing called God. That's where you should be pacing your time and your effort. Not on wanting, 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 wanting. There is nothing to want in this world. Nothing to want in this world. Can you see that? Once you know that you need nothing, you have everything. Write that down, Susan. Once you know that you have everything, you don't need anything in this world. Everything comes to you. But you have to know that first. You have to know that first. Years ago when I was in college, Aunt Catherine, when she was much younger, she wasn't 92 when I was in college, otherwise she'd be 300 years old by now. She wrote me a little letter and she sent a dollar bill in the letter. And she said to me, Dallas, believe it or not, this is all that I have. But you are more than welcome to it. because you know I want for nothing. You know I want for nothing. All her life, she wanted for nothing, but she got everything. Now, when I say she got everything, she lived a very good life. She had a wonderful husband. She had fur coats. She had diamonds. She had Cadillac cars. She had all the things that people think are the trappings of life. But she never wanted them. When you stop wanting, you will have. Write that down, Susan. When you stop wanting, you will have. Seek ye first that kingdom of heaven. This week, I was going through my desk drawers, as I do periodically, every 5 to 7 years. And, of course, I run into tons and tons and tons, thousands, in fact, of 3x5 cards. And as I was putting them in other places, the ones that were on the top of the different things spoke to me. So when they speak to me, I take them out again and I use them. So I'm going to share them with you. And this one is very important. I know I brought this to class many times. And we'll see about this whole thing when I say you must move up in consciousness. The time will come when we will let our conversations be in heaven. The time will come when we allow our conversations to be in heaven. What does that mean? Don't get down here on this plane of action talking about your ailments, your illnesses, the lack of this, that, and the other thing. Move your conversation up to heaven, to a different level, and talk about those things. Talk about those things. I think that's wonderful. A time will come when our conversations will be in heaven. We won't do all this horrible gossiping that we do. We won't allow ourselves to put ourselves down, you see. And this is what we do, don't we? So, let your conversation be in heaven. This one I know I read before, and I love this one. We cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. For what in the morning was true will in the evening become a lie. You see, what we believe. It's your programming. What does this mean? The afternoon of your life, according to a program of life. Most of us are living a life that we decided when we were 5 years old. We come up with what's called a map. And we decided, I'll be this, I'll be that, I will have this much money, I will do this, that, and the other thing. Now, this may be subtle to you, but by the age of 5, before you're emotionally, mentally, and physically capable of making any of these decisions, you have made them. You make decisions who you will marry at that age. You make all kinds of decisions. Now you made those decisions. That was in the morning of your life. Now you're in the afternoon of your life. And you're looking at those. It's called a map. Now you have a map that no longer works for you. And since that map no longer works for you, you can't get anywhere. If I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, could you find this police station? No. But you're using an internal map that you made up when you were 5, and you think that you can navigate your life with it. You cannot. That map must go. You must come up with a new map. You see? You must come up with a new map. What are some of the things that could be on that map? Your parents could have said, like they did to my friend Fran. Her father always said to her, the trouble with you, Fran, is you don't think. She graduated from Wesley. She was a terrific woman. She's one of the few intellectual women I know. But to this day, she still thinks. She cannot think. Because her father said that. You see, She's looking at the wrong map. What map are you using? I gave a talk a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and it was called Map Makers. You must become your own map maker. You see? And the problem with us, we don't become our own map makers. We let somebody else make our maps for us. Any progress that has come into this world has come in because of a new map maker. You see? There was no map of the new world when Columbus discovered it. But he made a map. He was a map maker. You must become a map maker in your own life. What map do you want to make for yourself, and where do you want that map to go? It can go in any direction. But you have to do that and not be convinced of the world, which tells you that these things cannot be done. You can step out of that. You are an individualized expression of God. You do not have to think like anybody else, nor do you have to join groups that think that because you think, oh, well, they think like I do. That's a bunch of bull, too, if you think everyone thinks like you just because they're in a group. I hate groups, by the way. The reason why I hate groups will never allow you to think past them. Never allow you to think past them. No questions. Never allow you to think past that. Here's another one. I know that the divine spirit of God is within me, and that this spirit draws out the best in me, and also draws the best to me. This is what you have to know about this God pattern that is inside of you, this God seed that is inside of you, that it is drawing out the good in you, and it is drawing good to you. It is drawing in and out. You must see that. How many times have I told you what you're doing is you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. And when it looks like things are the worst, you have to know, I'm moving, you see. God is always moving forward. God is not staying still. God moves forward, you see, with new ideas, with new everything. God, we make that big statement, God makes all things new. You think God remembers yesterday? Heaven's sakes, no. God lives in the now, this instant, this moment, and makes all things new right here and right now. We think in the past, and we say because it happened yesterday, it may happen again today. Don't do that to yourself. Make all things new for yourself. Make all things new for yourself. That is the whole idea of the Lord's Prayer when it says, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread is new thoughts, people. It's not a loaf of bread handed to you. But most of you want to keep eating stale bread. Every time you think an old thought, you're eating stale bread. And thinking those old thoughts didn't get you anywhere, did they? And they won't. I have the power to realize my heart's desire, and I believe in my own ability to succeed. I have the power to realize my heart's desire, and I believe in my own ability to succeed. Your heart's desire. You want to know where that desire comes from? It can only come from one place, people. If you have a desire, it has to come from the mind of God. If it comes from the mind of God and you have that desire, then you have to have all the abilities to bring that desire into manifestation. This thing called God is not capricious. It does not give you an ice cream cone, and before you're allowed to take a lick of it, knock it out of your hand. God does not work that way. If you have a genuine desire, it will come true because it has all the power of God behind it. Why does it have all the power of God? Because God is all there is, people. Get that through your head. God is all there is. God is all there is. God is all there is. I am one with all there is. I am here. This moment, I am completely whole and complete and perfect. God is working in, as, and through me. God is using my desires. God is using my mind to bring into my life what I desire, what I want. because what I want, God wants. What I think, God thinks. I have learned to think God thoughts after it. These are the things that you allow to pass through your consciousness. This is how you stretch your consciousness so that you start to see yourself in a whole new and different way, so that you are able to release this splendor that is inside of you. And there isn't one person sitting here right now who doesn't know and doesn't feel or hasn't felt that there's something inside of them. There isn't one person who says, I don't care if you're depressed, I don't care if you've never heard about this teaching, you've never been to a church or anything. Something tells you that you are more than what you think you are. And that more is this thing called God. And you've all felt it at one time or another. So you know that it's there. So what you need to do is nurture that spirit inside of you. Ask it to become bigger and bigger and bigger. The thing that stops you is your mind, because you think, oh, first of all, you think I'm going crazy. First of all, you think, oh, I'm losing my mind. Well, in the Bible, it says you must surrender. You must surrender to the old life to get the new life. And that is what we're afraid of. Oh, if I really become God, if I really let this splendor out, who the hell am I then? Then I'm not Dallas anymore. You have to give up the idea that you won't be. You'll be something so splendid, you see. Another little quick thing. Do you remember when Jesus was left at the temple and his family came back to find him, and somebody came and said to him, your mother and father are outside. And he said to them, who calls themselves my mother and father? Because he had moved up in consciousness. It doesn't mean that you dishonor your earthly parents, but you cannot allow yourself to stop with the idea that I'm Dallas because I had a mother and a father, one called Dallas and one called Alma. Therefore, here I am. I merely came through those people, loved them, but I merely came through them. And you have to give up that idea of your history. You cannot have history, people. History will do nothing but repeat itself if you have it. Give up the idea that you were any of those things. And start anew. Start anew. The renewal of your mind. Renew your thinking. Renew your spirit. Now, I don't know where I got this, since I don't make that type of notes. But here are four different things. We are already done. See, many people think that something needs to be added to them. You have to know that the gift has already been given, that you're already whole and complete and perfect, that you're done. You're baked. You're out of the oven, people. You're no longer in there waiting. You're done. You have everything that you need. Start with that. And when your mind says, well, I don't have that, I got this, and I don't need it, tell it to shut up. Tell it to shut up. The other things will come. Only one of us here. There's only ever one of us. You know, it's always God talking to God. It's always God meeting God. I've said this to Andy many times. I probably to you when you go out on auditions and so forth. Not only do you send your spirit before you, you have to know I'm God meeting God. There's nobody out there but God. When I talk, I'm talking to myself. Yes, you are all here, but I'm talking to myself. There's only me, as there's only you. See? You have to get this interconnectedness down, this idea that you are not separated from what you want. We don't get what we want because we think we're separated from it and it has to come to us. Once you know that you already have it, that you're not separated from it, and you release it from inside of yourself, you have it. But you keep thinking, I have to get something, I have to get something, I have to get something. And you cannot get anything. You already have it. Make up your mind to that. That the gift has been given. You have been given everything that you need. 3, we are in residence to our own world. You have to know that. to this world, to this universe, that we are in residence with it, and it is in residence with us. It's a friendly universe, it's a user-friendly universe, and it wants you to have everything. It supports you in everything that you do. There's nothing hostile out there going on. Nothing hostile out there going on. You're seeing? So when people leave your home, don't never say to them, be careful. If there's only God out there, what do you have to be careful about? What do you have to be careful about? You can say, may God go with you. But you don't have to be careful. The devil is not at the lamppost waiting to jump on them. The technology of prayer allows direct access to our bodies, one another, and the creative forces of our world. Prayer does that. Prayer does that. It's a direct access to our body. Next month we're going to talk about focus and stuff. We're going to know that where mind goes, energy flows. We're going to use this mind to heal our bodies, to heal ourselves, to heal our world, and to get someplace. So that we're not coming to these meetings day after day, year after year, and getting nowhere in life. It's fine, you know, to come to these things. But I saw too many people in the Baptist church who had none of the, I mean, what they were doing there is beyond me. But they all had a pleasant smile on their face. You see. Well, life is more than this pleasant smile. It's a feeling of joy, of bliss, of knowing that all is well, that you are all right. And that you're always going to be all right. You're always going to land on your feet. That this thing called God loves you so much that it is taking care of you. And why is it taking care of you? Because you are it. You've got to get that through your thinking, into your consciousness, that you are one with God, that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. Please use this. Get it into your consciousness. Once you do that, then you could start this treatment and this prayer work and whatever else you want to do. But if you're not getting what you want, if your treatment work is not working, I would suggest that you sit down first and realize that you are one with this thing called God. What I call spiritualizing yourself first, realizing that you are spirit. And what does that entail? In your imagination, what does that entail if you were spirit? Could you fly across the world? Could you do this? Could you always control things? Could you? There's all kinds. You have to think of what does spirit mean to you? You think you only your spirit's only released when you leave this plane of action, when you die? We like to use that pleasant term in religious science, transition. But you're still dead as a nit. Doesn't matter. You may have made a transition, but this body is as dead as a nit, people. So, you have to get that through your head. So, what does spirit mean to you? What does spirit mean to you? What do you mean to spirit? Do you know that you're God in action? Do you know that your hands are the hands of God? Do you know that your eyes are the eyes of God? See, God has no eyes of its own. God uses our eyes to see things. But in the mind of God, God only sees good. So do you only see good? Or do you allow this ego mind of yours to tell you that there's something ugly out there and convince you that there's something ugly out there? There is nothing ugly out there. Why is there nothing ugly out there? Because there's nothing out there. Everything is inside. So if you're seeing ugly, it's because there's something ugly going on inside of you. Now the best or the greatest thing is you can change that. You can change that. How? Change your thinking. Change your life. Change your mind about yourself. See yourself as the splendid individuals that you truly are. See yourself as God in action. See yourself as God in action. Know that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and yes, that you matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.